and stuff.
Blog Talk Radio.
All aboard!
Thank you, Ozzy. Good evening, and welcome to Eerie House Radio. All aboard. Show us your ticket, or we'll make you sit in the caboose, or something. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with...
Dan Binkley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and the Spaceship One. And we're here with ourselves.
For the moment. You never know what could happen. You just never know.
One never knows.
Anything can happen. Welcome, Fozbean. Gar's in there getting ready for a show. Joined us in the chat. Dave Binkley joins us. How nice.
I did. he did.
Oh,
I just have to think, wait, I'm not logged in yet. I guess I better get my butt moving.
Gar's getting a little surly. He's getting a little surly. I'll show you my ticket, all right, he says. I hear Mo Howard when he says it like that. Well, I'll show you your ticket.
and Dale, we kind of did something a little extra tonight. You might want to tell them what's going on after the Mystery Theater.
Oh, yeah. We, in addition to our regularly scheduled program, CBS Radio Mystery Theater, The Good Time Express, we suddenly realized a certain someone is turning 131 years old today, if he were alive.
And he doesn't look a day over 121.
No, not a day over.
No.
The late, great Groucho Marx. And so we're gonna honor him too. So who knows? Maybe we'll run a little late today, live even, with the live show. So stick around, you'll find out. Lots of fun coming your way. And tell
us,
Steve.
Yeah, we went into the archive and dug out quite a few clips from Groucho and radio. And the fun thing about listening to those and getting those ready, Dale, is how much Groucho loved to grow off script. He did not like to stay on script because he thought the scripts were generally pretty lousy, which is maybe why he never really had a show of his own. He did Pat's Blue Ribbon Time for a short time. It wasn't until he did You Bet Your Life where there was no script.
Yes. I was just going to say that really gave him the opportunity. What he did best was fly by the seat of his pants because, face it, the man had an incredibly quick wit.
Yes. Almost as quick as Gar's, but yeah.
Yeah.
This is the reason, you know, there is a new You Bet Your Life out, and this is starring Jay Leno. Now, I like Jay Leno a lot, but I tell you right now, it's not going to work. And because you know what? Bill Cosby tried it, and it didn't work. That was followed by Buddy Hackett trying it, and it didn't work. Now Jay Leno's trying it, and it's not going to work because it's not Groucho.
I know. Dave, hold on a minute. I got to put on my manager hat for just a minute.
Okay.
Okay, young lady. Remember what you got paid last time. You're getting docked. You're getting docked this time.
Oh, well, fine. Be that way then, my goodness.
Your salary has been clipped. Good evening and welcome, CW. Welcome to your new home away from home.
Greetings, everyone. I'm in traffic, so I have oceans of time because I'll be sitting here until the crack of doom. So there.
Why, are you stuck behind a train?
No, Saturday shoppers.
So you have construction there, like, you know, in Ohio we have two seasons. We have winter and construction. So do you have construction like that there?
The orange cones are still blooming from spring.
Wow.
Blooming.
You
just be careful, whatever you do. We'll carry the show as best we can when you have to focus on your driving. But always a pleasure having you here. I'm a whole family.
You are so fun and you are a wealth of knowledge about movies and people and all kinds of things. It adds such a great dimension to the show. So we're always glad to have you here.
In fact, so much so, we were talking a little bit before the show about different stars and different rumors about Hollywood Babylon and so forth. And I said, I'll bet that CW knows all about Lupe Velez.
Oh, yes. Lupe Velez was quite the thing in her time. And I believe there was quite the scandal when she had an affair with someone. And how should I put this? I believe she came in The Family Way, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. Which ultimately led to her suicide. I guess it was great shame that I think she was with child when she did it. What little I knew when I watched a brief documentary about her is that there was this urban legend, if you will, that she died with her head in a toilet. And that is not true. It was actually a very well-arranged suicide, and she put on her very best and snarfed down like 75 Seconals and said nighty night. And she was a petite lady, so that much pills, she wouldn't have made it to the toilet.
Quite right. That was just something that the tabloid press made up. She went out in the best style she could think of. She had a huge, absolute wonderful meal prepared. And the reason I think the tabloid press even tried to make it as though she did away with herself and ended up in the commode was because the food she had was very, very rich.
And spicy, yeah.
It didn't agree with her. Her body rebelled. It ended her life, but her body rebelled and she became ill. That's what they found in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Wow.
No,
and so, Dave,
shame.
You do win the fruit salad because you won the bet.
I grow my own fruit salad, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I guess I don't owe it to you then. If you don't need mine, fine.
Why would you be scared to come anywhere near your dwelling? Because it looks like, it sounds like it's the Day of the Trippets versus Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
My yard is pretty much like, it kind of is. We have these really big, creepy, weepy willows. And I want to utilize them at some point. Because Dave and I were talking, I'm going to start hosting silent films soon. I'm studying and trying to find some rarities, not the three, silent films that everyone knows, but some more obscure ones and bring those back. But we got a lot of radio tonight, and we're glad you joined us at last as we are presenting CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yes.
Ooh.
And the good Times Express. Interesting little story. It starts off super interesting, but it is an interesting story. It's funny how things go when your plans don't go quite according to the way you had scheduled them.
Like every day?
Yeah.
Like
real life?
Yeah. Like
real life?
Well, but the way this thing starts off is not like real life at all. This is way off from real life, but sure makes an interesting story.
Yeah. As we wrap up our stories about trains and something you missed before, I don't know if you heard at all before you called in, CW, but we're going to do a tribute to the great Groucho Marx a little later on as well.
Oh, fabulous.
But first, let's begin with CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Part one, The Good Time Express. It's from?
It's episode number 857 from June 30th, 1978.
All Chicagoland Warren stores now through July 5th.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Foothold is tenoned and mortised in granite, said Mr. Walt Whitman. I laugh at what you call dissolution, and I know the amplitudes of time. The amplitudes of time. Yes, indeed. There is so much time. So much has gone by. So much is yet to come. Was there ever a beginning? Will there ever be an end? Or does it stretch from the indefinite past to the infinite future?
When is Flight 703 leaving?
703? Oh, it's been canceled.
When was it canceled?
Just now.
Why?
A severe snowstorm has just hit Boston. They can't take any more traffic.
Snow? That's impossible.
Why?
Snow today? The 15th of June? That's never happened before.
Well, there's a first time for everything, isn't there?
Our mystery drama, The Good Times Express, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Ralph Bell and Roberta Maxwell. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The name of the game. Keep your business options open and you'll stay open for business. When it comes to travel, Delta offers all the options you could ask for. To Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Delta gives you the option of 6 daily nonstops with a wide ride TriStar every morning. Your Orlando option covers 3 nonstops a day and a one-stop through jet. To Tampa, St. Pete, Delta gives you a choice of 3 nonstops. And you can save up to 50% with some restrictions on Delta Super Saver fares to all these cities. Call Delta or your travel agent. That's another nice option.
Delta is ready when you are.
Tempus omnia revelat, said the Roman philosopher, and it means time tells all. Well, not quite. There are some secrets that have been kept for so long that perhaps they have been forgotten and disappeared into the vast maw of eternity, never to see the light of day. A pity. Some of them may have been extremely interesting. The airport is quiet. A man is standing in a phone booth.
We're about 250, 300 miles away, Fred. The plane had to come down here for some reason. You can never make out what these pilots say over the PA system. Well, he said it wasn't serious. We could expect to be in the air again, about 20 minutes or a half hour. Oh, now, don't worry, Fred. I'll be there in plenty of time. I know how important it is. You just wait for me at the airport in Boston. All right, goodbye. Oh, I better be there. Miss.
Yes, sir.
What's the latest word on the Boston flight?
The Boston flight?
703.
Oh, it's been canceled.
Canceled?
Yes, sir.
But the pilot said they were just landing here for a few minutes.
Is that what he said?
Well, it can't be canceled.
I have the notification right here.
Oh, no, it's a mistake. Would you look again? Check it.
All right, sir. No problem.
Oh, boy, it's impossible.
This is Polly. Latest on 703.
I can't cancel it.
They just did.
What? Ask them why.
Is there a reason, Jill? I see. Thanks. It seems the whole East Coast has been snowed in.
What?
Boston can't handle any more traffic tonight.
Did you say snowed in?
From Maine to Maryland.
Well, that's impossible.
Why?
Well, how can there be snow? It's the middle of June.
So?
Well, what do you mean, so? It can't snow in June.
Why not?
Well, it never did.
There's a first time for everything, isn't there?
I have simply got to get to Boston.
What can I tell you?
What's your name?
Parrot.
Miss Parrott.
But everyone calls me Polly.
I simply have to be in Boston before morning.
What's your first name?
Calvin.
Calvin. Do you know what Calvin means in Latin?
No.
It means bald.
Miss Parrott, there must be some way for me. I demand to see your supervisor.
What for? He's not going to put you on a plane to Boston. There are no planes to Boston.
Would you just do as I say?
The snowstorm that just hit the East Coast. Is my supervisor going to stop it?
About this snowstorm, Miss Parrott.
Yes?
I was listening to the radio about a half an hour ago.
Yeah?
There was no talk of a snowstorm.
No?
The weather forecast for New England was sunny and mild, seasonable temperatures.
The thing must have happened all of a sudden.
Miss Parrott, I do not believe one word you're saying.
Wait, listen.
To what?
The ticker. It's the weather advisory.
Yes?
Here's what it says. Storm increasing in intensity. Snow heavier. No end in sight. All East Coast airports shut down till further notice. That's it.
Oh, no, I can't believe it. Let's settle this thing.
What thing?
This alleged snowstorm.
As far as I'm concerned, it's settled now.
I'll call my friend in Boston.
You're entitled to make a phone call. Be my guest.
I'll ask him if it's snowing.
You do that.
He'll think I'm crazy. I'll say, Fred, is it snowing there in Boston? Can you imagine asking a question like that on the 15th of June? What do you mean, all lines are down? What do you mean?
This is a recording. If you require assistance...
Now, what am I going to do?
Wait, I guess. Just like everyone else.
Will Mr. Calvin Smith please report to the International Airlines ticket counter? Mr. Calvin Smith.
You, wanted me?
Yes.
Is there any news?
No.
No? Then why did you call me?
I've been watching you.
What do you mean?
You know what you look like. Just like a bear.
A bear?
Did you ever see a bear in the zoo?
Miss Parrott.
Oh, you must have seen a bear in the zoo.
Very well, I saw a bear in the zoo.
Picture a bear. And that's just what you look like.
Thank you very much.
A caged, crabby, querulous bear.
Now, see here, Miss Parrott.
A sour, surly bear.
And this is why you paged me?
Now, look, Mr. Smith, this isn't you. I'll bet you're a man who has a really sunny disposition. You shouldn't let a thing like this bother you.
Miss Parrott, I am en route to Boston on a matter of life and death.
You don't mean that.
My entire career. And suddenly my plane is forced to land in this place. I am told there is a snowstorm in the middle of June, no less. I think I'm losing my mind.
Mr. Smith, International Airlines likes to make things as easy as possible for its customers.
All I'm asking for is a plane.
It's going to be a long night here at the airport. I don't recommend the restaurant. It's a greasy joint.
I'm not hungry.
You will be.
Who can think of food at a time like this?
Take a cab into town. Check into that big new motel. Have yourself a good dinner. Get a comfortable room. Relax with some TV.
I won't leave this place. I can't take a chance on missing my plane.
As soon as anything can fly, you'll be notified.
I don't know.
The airline's going to pick up the tab. Look at yourself. You're dead on your feet.
Yes. It's been a very long day.
I'll bet.
A very long and very difficult day.
So why not do yourself a favor?
Yes, why not? Thank you, Miss Parrott. If I seem rather brusque before and abusive, I...
You call that abusive? You should hear what I get from some people.
I apologize. You're a very fine young lady.
You're not so bad yourself. A little bit of a stuffed shirt, maybe.
Oh, am I? Really?
It doesn't have to be your fault. It could be the way you were raised.
Well, thank you for being so nice.
Just outside the door, there should be a cab. Have a good night.
Taxi! Hop in, pal. Hey, you're in luck. I just happen to be out here. What are you doing in the middle of no place, anyhow?
This is the airport.
This is what?
The airport.
What airport?
The...
Hey, pal, if you say there's an airport around here, you know what I say? The customer's always right. That's what I say.
But I was just in...
Hey, pal, look around. You see an airport?
I am going crazy. I must be going crazy.
We're all going crazy. Where do I take you?
To town.
Where in town?
The new motel. No, wait, there was an airport.
What new hotel? We ain't had a new hotel around here in 20 years.
Well, I suppose she meant the newest one.
Well, how about if I take you to the best one?
Well, all right. I suppose... I wish I knew.
You wish you knew what?
It's nothing, it's nothing. I must be a little feverish.
Ooh, you want to see a doctor?
No, no. There's only one cure for what must be bothering me. If I can get to Boston before tomorrow morning.
So why can't you get there by tomorrow morning?
Because there are no planes to Boston tonight.
Ah, what do you want a plane for? Train gets you there in 4.5 hours.
A train? Is there a train?
Well, how do you think people travel, huh?
I didn't think there was a train to Boston. Can I still make a train tonight?
I could get you to the station and you can make the Good Times Express.
The what?
The Good Times Express.
It goes to Boston?
If that's where you're going, that's where she's going.
Well, I didn't think there were any more regular trains.
Oh, hey, pal, where you been?
Where have I been? I suppose I've been very busy. Did we miss it? Has it gone?
Nah. We're going to beat her into the station.
Hey, careful now.
Don't worry, pal. I never had an accident yet.
Oh.
Hey, you see? She's first coming in now.
Thank you.
That's okay.
All right. Here you are.
Well, thank you, pal.
You know, I can't get over it.
Get over what?
How busy, how crowded.
Well, sure.
This is like... This is the way it used to be.
The way what used to be?
The way travel used to be. The way trains and railroad stations used to be.
The Good Times Express. All aboard for the Good Times Express.
Gonna hop on, pal?
Yes.
What?
Hey, pal. Have a good trip.
Conductor, I didn't have a chance to buy one.
What's your destination?
Boston.
That'll be $7.20.
For a ticket to Boston? That's very cheap.
Is that a fact?
Of course. Would cost more than three times that much to fly.
Oh, you see? You're in luck.
I wonder how much you would charge to go to Los Angeles.
$7.20.
What?
All tickets on the Good Times Express are $7.20.
Well, how can you make a profit if you take people to Los Angeles for $7.20?
We don't go there.
But you just sent a ticket to Los Angeles.
Just because we sell you a ticket doesn't mean we'll take you there.
I don't understand.
Mr. Smith.
Wait. How did you know my name?
As I was saying, Mr. Smith, we just sold you a ticket to Boston, didn't we?
Yes.
That doesn't mean we're going to Boston either.
You mean you're not going to Boston?
No, I don't think so.
Stop the train.
Stop the Good Times Express. I'm afraid that can't be done.
Well, where are we going? I have a right to know.
I can't tell you.
Why?
Because I really wouldn't know how to explain it.
What does that mean? Why can't you explain it?
At this point, I don't think anybody knows what it means. We would have to know more about this rather unusual train, the Good Times Express. What kind of train is it? Evidently, our hero has embarked on a journey, but what is his destination?
You know, this is the kind of question that we never answer in the first act. You'll just have to wait a few moments till I bring you the second.
You know the kind of day when it's so hot the fish are fried before you catch them? Well, that's the time for country time.
Country time, country time. Tastes like that good old-fashioned lemonade.
Country time lemonade flavor drink. Not too tart, not too sweet, with natural lemon flavor. When you got a thirst for the taste of good old-fashioned lemonade.
Country time, country time. Tastes like that good old-fashioned lemonade.
Come on, Dave, let's make us some country time lemonade.
It tastes just like good old-fashioned lemonade.
Yee-haw! While you're getting the lemonade, I'll have to go run down to the still and get a little something.
Wait a minute. I'll take what she's got.
That's right. Good old-fashioned corn squeezings.
Yeah. Totally organic.
Interesting opening to the show. Can't get to Boston by plane because in June because there's a snowstorm, and then gets on a plane or train to go to a place that they ain't going to take them to.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I like that. Just because we sold you a ticket.
Doesn't mean we'll take you there.
What the hell? I think I would be a bit perturbed at that point.
I think he is a little perturbed, isn't he? Yes.
Yes.
But that was only part one of our amazing story. Yeah, interesting. He steps outside the airport, and the airport disappears. A bit Rod Serling-ish. Yeah.
Very Rod Serling-ish.
Yes. Yeah. Just another amazing fun tale from the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And as Gar says, but wait, there's more. Indeed, there is. Yes.
Indeed, there is. A whole lot of radio.
A whole lot of radio, yes. So, go ahead.
Just remember, because you pay for it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get it.
Yeah. Not sure how they're rating. What kind of customer service ratings are getting?
Does that go something along the lines of, I hope you get what you want and not what you deserve, that kind of a thing?
Yes.
Just checking.
People say that to me all the time.
You're lucky. They usually wish I get what I deserve. But no, doesn't happen that way.
Dave, luckily. You deserve every nice thing that happens to you. including your recent induction into the Horror
exactly.
House Hall of Fame.
Well,
richly deserved.
Whereas
I deserve everything I want.
There you go.
Let that mumble for a second there.
Yeah. Don't make me think it's Saturday night. Come on.
That's just too much common sense. It hurts my head.
Yep.
Or as Yosemite Sam would say, and it hurts my head.
That's what he says.
And it makes my head hurt.
A lot of thumbs up on this particular story. I can always find somebody who doesn't like it when I go through comments on the different episodes of the Mystery Theater. I don't think I found anyone that didn't like this particular episode. It seems to jump all over the place, which keeps you off kilter, I think. So,
yep.
Maybe
those are the best stories
it.
Where they. Those are the best stories when they keep you a little off balance.
As long as it's not too off balance, not like a Federico Fellini movie or something to that effect. If it's going to be something Kafka-esque. No, I'm not into philosophy. Just entertain me.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm with you. Just entertain me. Don't teach me no lessons. I'm too old for that.
Well, I tap dance for you, but I can't tap dance. So.
Nope. Okay, a whole lot of radio. Let's get on to part two of Good Times Express.
Just trying to entertain you. I'm just trying, you know.
Say way around that if I can. I'm trying to work my way around it. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Hit the brakes on that one.
Tap dance. Go ahead. It'll be great for radio.
Yeah. Hey, Stan Freberg can do it. If Stan Freberg can do it on a record album, we can do it on radio. Except that I can't tap dance. So.
Neither can I. I. That is one thing I would have liked to learn. Because I'm just impressed by all those great dancers of days gone by, you know. Bojangles, Gene Kelly, just the greats.
Well, Al Klesch in my cast, he does a little bit of, 72 years old, and he does a little bit of tap dance and
a little bit of soft shoe.
I'm gonna have him. I would like him to teach me a little bit of soft shoe. You know, that way when vaudeville comes back, I'll be all ready.
Just around the corner, vaudeville.
Yep, absolutely.
Dave, when vaudeville comes back, we'll be older than it.
Uh-oh.
Well, if they hurry up with the science and we can have holograms projected into our rooms and everything, that would be a wonderful venue for vaudeville. Just tap on here and you want this skit, this song, this dance, this routine.
It'd be great for adult entertainment, too, but I digress.
That's burlesque you're thinking of.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Good save. You saved me from myself.
And that's not an easy chore. No, it is not.
Dale Kay, Lost Cause. Back to CBS Radio Mystery Theater with Good Times Express. We'll be back.
As a rule, there seems to be a logic to life. Events appear to follow a predictable pattern. We know who we are, we know where we are, and we know what time it is. We're bound to routine and custom by what we assume to be unbreakable, indissoluble bonds. But sometimes, some of us suddenly discover how fragile, how tenuous those ties really are.
You're the conductor of this train?
Yes, sir.
And you don't know where it's going?
Oh, I know where it's going.
Then why don't you tell me?
Because you wouldn't understand.
Sir, I am a physicist.
I'm aware of that.
How would you be aware of it?
Were you about to make a point, Mr. Smith?
I am a physicist. I have the ability to comprehend all sorts of complicated concepts.
I'm sure you have that ability.
Then there is no reason not to tell me.
Enlightenment comes in one of two ways. First, there's that which we are told. Second, there is that which we discover.
Sir, all I want to know
the
is...
The second is the deeper, more lasting.
I am asking a simple question.
As a scientist, you should know there is no such thing as a simple answer.
I demand to be let off this train at once.
I'm sorry. The train cannot make any unscheduled stops.
When is the next scheduled stop?
I don't think you'd want to get off there.
Why not?
You look very tired. Maybe if you had something to eat and a nice hot cup of coffee.
I must be losing my mind. I must be trapped in a nightmare.
Now, come on. Let's step into the next car. It's the diner. Have a drink, a delicious meal. You'll see. You'll feel so much better. Here now, let me give you a hand. Oh, my. The diner is crowded this evening.
Conductor,
look, there's an empty seat at the table where the young lady is sitting all by herself.
But I'm not hungry.
Oh, sure you are. Miss, do you mind if this gentleman joins you for dinner?
No, not at all.
It's you.
Me?
The girl at the airport ticket counter.
Oh, I'm sure. You must be mistaken.
Your name is Polly.
Polly?
Polly Parrott.
That's quite a name.
Look, please, help me.
Are you in trouble?
Yes.
What kind of trouble?
I don't know.
Then how can anyone help you?
I was in the airport just about half an hour ago.
Yes?
My flight to Boston was canceled.
And?
Well, why do you ask? You know about it.
I do?
You were the girl behind the counter.
What's your name?
Well, you know my name. It's Calvin Smith.
My name is Melisande Morris.
But you said...
You look like a very troubled person.
I sure am.
Why do you insist I was some girl at an airport ticket counter?
Because... All right, look. Let me tell you the whole story without any interruption. All right?
All right.
No matter how crazy it sounds, just let me finish, will you? You promise?
I promise.
All right, as I said, my name is Calvin Smith. At 6 p.m. this evening, Tuesday, June the 15th, I was in the airport.
What were you doing in the airport?
The plane had to come down for some minor repair.
What were you doing in the plane?
I was flying to Boston.
From where?
In Los Angeles.
Why?
You promised not to interrupt.
You said you would tell me the whole story.
The story begins in the airport.
The story begins before you got on the plane.
I was going to Boston on business.
What kind of business?
That's not important.
Then you don't want to tell me the story.
I have an appointment to sell a game.
A game?
A game, a children's game. Well, adults would like it also. I have to see these people at a toy company.
A game?
You have no idea how much money there is in these things.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I teach physics at the university. Do you realize how little teachers are paid in our society?
Yes.
It's this whole distorted sense of values, you see.
That's the way it's always been.
This game is called Bomb O.
It's called what?
Bomb O. You know what a bomb is?
I think so.
All right. Well, each player picks a country, and I have a specially designed computer that can enable the player who takes the basic logical steps to annihilate the rest of the world.
Annihilate?
That's figure of speech.
I would hope so.
This specially designed ray, you see, zaps around the board and electronically knocks over all the enemy cities. It's quite realistic.
Really?
Oh, I know what you're thinking.
Do you?
That I have no business creating this kind of...
That's for you to decide.
I'm tired of being poor and a nobody.
And this is how you employ your splendid knowledge.
Splendid knowledge, eh? What's splendid about knowledge? What has our awesome scientific knowledge done for the world? It would be better if we never had any.
New York. We're coming into New York. New York, the next stop. All passengers for New York.
New York? I want to go to Boston.
Do you really want to go to Boston?
What have I been telling you?
We're coming into Grand Central Terminal. This is where I get off.
You're leaving?
It's been nice talking to you, Mr. Smith.
I'm getting off, too.
Why?
I can go right to Kennedy Airport.
There is no Kennedy Airport.
My dear miss, what did you say your name was?
Morris. Melisande Morris.
Kennedy Airport is on the eastern border of New York City, formerly called Idlewild. It was renamed
when... But right now, it doesn't exist. Not yet.
What do you mean, not yet?
Because this is 1937.
1937?
This stop is 1937.
What are you talking about?
Come on, let's get off the train.
How can it be 1937?
Oh, come on.
Why, you...
Oh, everybody's here on the platform.
What is this?
Oh, there's Benny Goodman and his orchestra. And waiting to play, Glenn Miller and Hal Kemp and Duke. That's Duke.
Where are we?
Where I always wanted to be. Back in 1937.
1937.
Oh, how my mother and father used to talk about it. And all the bands, the shows. Life was so easy and wonderful. Listen to the band.
1937.
Hey, they're all here. Everybody's here. Look, there's Joe DiMaggio. He's going to get a hit in 56 straight games this year. And there's President Roosevelt, FDR himself, and Charlie Chaplin, and George Gershwin, and Joe Louis.
I can't believe it.
Believe it. Enjoy it. Stay here.
Here?
Here, in 1937.
But I want to go to Boston.
Stay here with me.
But this isn't my time.
It wasn't mine either, but it can be.
1937, it won't stay here forever.
How do you know?
Well, it didn't last time, did it?
It doesn't matter.
1937 will become 1938 and 39 and 40 and the war.
What war?
Well, you know what war.
I...
You and I, we weren't born, but we read about it in the history books. World War II.
I don't remember.
Polly.
Why do you call me Polly?
The terrible things that happened. Hitler and the atom bomb. You'll have to go through all that.
I don't believe you.
Polly, have you forgotten? What happened to you?
Stay with me.
Polly, have you forgotten?
I only know I'm here. And I want to stay here.
Now, Polly, please, listen to me.
No. No, this is what I want. You won't take it from me.
All aboard! Board! This is the Good Times Express.
We better get back on the train.
Why? Didn't you want to get off?
Yes, but not here.
What's wrong with here? It's the most wonderful place in the world.
I wouldn't know what to do in 1937.
You don't have to do anything. Just live in it and enjoy it.
Polly, we belong to another time.
I don't know any other time. I don't remember any other time. Who are you? What are you saying?
You know who I am and you know what I'm saying.
You must be crazy. Keep away from me. Keep away or I'll call a cop.
All aboard.
Wait for me.
This is the Good Times Express.
What? Wait for me. Wait.
You did.
I never ran so fast.
Why? I thought you couldn't wait to get off the train.
Well, I wasn't going to get off there.
What's wrong with New York?
Well, that was 1937. What do I want to go to 1937 for?
Well, where do you want to go?
Where? I haven't thought about that.
That isn't true. For the last year, maybe more. That's all you have been thinking about.
No, I...
Why do you think you're here on the Good Times Express?
I don't know.
What do you think the Good Times Express is?
I don't know that either.
Oh, yes, you do. You don't want to admit it to yourself just yet.
Admit what? I was on a plane from Los Angeles to Boston. Suddenly the plane was forced down. I found myself in the air.
We all know that story by now.
All right, tell me. Just tell me one thing. Am I dreaming? Is this a nightmare?
As a scientist, you should know there are no simple answers. For instance, what is a dream?
Oh, no, don't start that.
Well, you asked me a simple question.
What's happening? What's happening to me?
Only good things are happening to you.
Good things?
You're on the Good Times Express.
But where am I going?
Mr. Calvin Smith, you know very well where you're going.
Where is he going? Evidently, we're on a train. And what have we learned about it? Well, it seems to be going back in time. That's obvious. And it stops, judging from what has just happened, where each passenger wants it to stop. So far, so good. But where does our Calvin Smith want to go? Where would a cynical, disillusioned scientist really want to go? Let's find out in Act 3.
Maybe Jerusalem. Who knows?
Yeah, never know.
Never know.
You're a little closer than you think, Dale. A little closer than you think.
All right, cool. Well, I don't want to play spoilers, so I'll stop guessing.
it's like that time early on we did a strange strange doctor, not strange Dr. Tim, whatever that was, a guy lives in the cemetery. And
strange
guy,
Dr. Weird?
Strange Dr. Weird. He went back and murdered his wife way back in time, and they found her amulet and had his fossilized fingerprint in it, you know? So,
oh.
Yeah. And you and Gar guessed it before we finished the second part of it, so.
Oh, I hope we didn't ruin it too bad.
Is that in the archive?
Yes, it is. I'll have to look and see which one that is. But it's one of the earlier shows. It's
what was the
first
topic?
Year,
I'll look it up.
From our first half a year. I honestly don't remember. Was it time our first time travel one? I don't know.
Oh,
I'm not sure. The time change, because a lot of times on time change we do time travel episodes. So
this is reminding me a great deal of something, Stephen King's The Langoliers a little bit.
Yeah, kind of. Stuck
well,
on a journey that they can't really control at all. And...
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that and I think it wasn't a Twilight Zone? An airplane is caught in a storm and they try and land in New York. And when they try and land, there's dinosaurs down there.
Yeah, it was a Twilight Zone. Yep.
Yes, and then the second time, it's New York 1939, because the World's Fair is there. Yeah. Or 29, what was that, 29?
I think they used footage from The Lost World for the dinosaurs.
They did,
it looked terribly familiar, those dinosaurs. I was thinking, I've seen that Dino before.
Dave, what was the title of that episode you're thinking of? About time and... That's not the Judas
Odyssey,
Clock?
Judas Clock was Inner Sanctum. You know what? I'll get through the archives as well early on, and maybe I'll have an answer for that when we finish with part three of it.
There we go. We might as well move on then and wrap up Good Time Express, and then stick around. We've got even more.
A fine wind is blowing the new direction of time, sang the poet. Well, we can't vouch for the wind, but something seems to have set time in a different direction as far as our story is concerned. One day, our hero Calvin Smith was living his life, as usual, in the here and now. Suddenly, he is on an express to... Well, where?
You keep telling me that I know where I'm going.
That's right.
Why do you insist on it?
Why do you deny it?
Oh, no, this isn't a dream.
Who said it was?
Because I would have awakened long ago.
Yes, let me know where you want to get off.
No, don't you do that to me anymore. You know where I wanted to get off, Boston. I had to be there by morning, only now I'm not sure which morning anymore.
Boston, it's our next stop.
It is?
Be there in a couple of minutes.
Well, why didn't you say so before?
Another fella in this car is getting off at Boston, too.
Oh, he is? Who?
A fella at the other end, sitting by the rear door.
What? That... Hey, I know him. I know that man.
Sir, you...
What are you doing here?
What am I doing here?
Well, I know you. Don't you recognize me?
No. No, I'm afraid I don't.
You're the cab driver.
Cab driver?
You picked me up at the airport.
Not me.
You brought me to the railroad station?
No, you must be mistaken.
Well, how else would I get here?
I'm sure I don't know.
Don't you remember?
Oh, you must have me confused.
No, I don't.
In the first place, I'm not a cab driver.
Now, listen, I never forget a face.
I'm a history teacher.
Now, please, would you listen to me? I need help.
What kind of help?
I don't even know.
Then.
I was bound for Boston. Suddenly, my plane came down in some airport. My flight was canceled. I got on a train, this train.
Then it happened to you, too?
Are you saying...
Yes.
I was driving to Boston when my car just died, you know? Sometimes a car just gives out.
Yes, I know.
I was right near a railroad station, and this train happened along. So, as far as I'm concerned, there's no harm done.
Yes, there's no harm done. We can get off together. Maybe we can share a cab, eh?
I don't think so.
Why?
Because I'm not sure we're going to the same Boston.
What do you mean? There's only one Boston.
No. There are a great many.
I'm sure there are a great many small towns and perhaps little cities scattered around throughout the country named Boston, but there's only one Boston, Massachusetts.
There are a great many Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, please, please. No, I'm hanging on by my fingernails. Yes, it is.
Hanging on to what?
My sanity.
But it makes sense.
I better not talk about it.
Would you say that the Boston of 1975 is the same as the Boston of 1875?
Probably not.
Agreed. And how about the Boston of 1775? Isn't it a completely different city?
Yes, all right. But what does that have to do with...
That's where we're stopping. At the Boston of 1775.
You can't be serious.
Why not?
Why should we be going to Boston of 1775?
Because that's where I want to get off.
Why?
I think it's been downhill ever since.
What's been downhill?
Everything. I teach history. And never was there such glory as in the year 1775.
Now, wait a minute.
The Battle of Bunker Hill.
Yes, that's
right. Actually, it was Breed's Hill. This was the greatest moment in American history. Indeed, in the history of freedom itself. There, the decision was made by men, ordinary men like ourselves. Farmers, lawyers, shopkeepers, mechanics, school teachers. You come with me.
Go with you where?
To Breed's Hill, overlooking Boston. Do you know what day this is?
It's the 15th of June.
General Gage is trying to stop us, but we're fortifying the heights. Now, the day after tomorrow, on the 17th, General Gage is going to send General Howe up Breed's Hill in a frontal attack.
Yes, I know. I read about it.
You know. But do you understand? 3,000 of the best regular troops in the world are going to march up the hill. Do you know why?
Not really, I suppose.
Because they have contempt for us. Because they think the shine of the sun on their bayonets will scatter us like rabbits. These arrogant British, have they ever a lesson to learn? Come with me. We'll help teach them.
I don't think I can.
I read about it so many times, and now I'm going to see it. Now I'll be part of it. Howe himself. Oh, he has courage. He leads the march up the hill. All Boston is watching. The redcoats advance. 200 yards from the trenches. 100 yards. Silence. And then, at 50, we open fire with everything we've got. Hunting rifles, shotguns, pistols. And we shout, are we cowards? Are the Yankees cowards?
Yes, that must have been a splendid sight.
The British are bewildered. They're about to break and run down the hill, but Howell rallies them. You can see him. His white breeches are spattered with blood. And we try it again. And again we teach them a bitter lesson. We fire till the guns are too hot to hold. Till every ounce of shot and every grain of powder is gone.
Boston, this station stop is Boston.
Come with me.
No, I can't.
Where else would you rather be? Is there another place in all the world, in all of history, that's nearly as exciting? Is there?
Is there? Yes.
This is Boston. Passengers getting off at Boston.
Well, goodbye.
Goodbye.
You never know what you're missing.
I would go with you, but I...
But what?
I have to save the world. Goodbye.
This is the Good Times Express. All aboard.
Didn't get off at Boston after all. It
was the wrong Boston.
Not for everybody. Well, what's the next stop for the Good Times Express?
You're asking me?
It could be your stop.
My stop?
You know what it is now, don't you?
Yes.
And you also know why you're on the train, don't you?
Yes. You said enlightenment comes in two ways. That which we are told and that which we discover. The second way is the best.
And are you enlightened?
Yes.
Now you can stop fighting it. You can stop doubting yourself, your sanity, wondering if this is a dream. You know now you're fully awake.
Yes.
Before I take you to your stop, tell me why you're here.
Because I'm unhappy.
Why are you unhappy?
I feel that science has...
Say it.
I feel that science has betrayed the world.
That's a terrible indictment of science.
It's not the fault of science. And the scientists?
No.
Scientists are only human. They will make mistakes. The true blame belongs to knowledge.
Knowledge?
Knowledge, yes, you see. Human beings cannot live with knowledge.
That's a terrible indictment of human beings.
It's not the fault of human beings. It's the way they're made. And knowledge is to put the uses that human beings cannot control.
Then you want to destroy knowledge?
Oh, no. No, it cannot be done.
Then what do you want?
I want human beings to live as if there had never been any such thing as knowledge.
But how is that possible?
Let the human race live in harmony with the world, with nature. Let humanity enjoy the earth and all its fruits without the corruption, the corrosion, the deadly infection of knowledge. Knowledge which breeds envy and avarice and murder.
Are you sure that's what you want?
I have received the best, the most advanced knowledge this world has developed. And I will tell you, the evil far outweighs the good. In the end, knowledge will enable man to destroy himself and this world completely.
Where do you want the Good Times Express to take you?
To a time and a place where there was no knowledge?
Yes.
To the Garden of Eden. Let me be that human being in the Garden of Eden.
Why?
Because I will be able to change the fate of the world.
How?
I will know better than to eat that apple.
How will you know better? Once you're in the Garden of Eden, you'll forget why you came there. You will have no knowledge.
Perhaps I will have no memory. But I'll have a logical mind. I will understand those things that must be obeyed.
Well, this is the Good Times Express. You paid for your ticket. You're entitled to your ride.
You can take me to the Garden of Eden?
Why, look, we're just pulling in now. Garden of Eden. This station stop is the Garden of Eden. Check the overhead racks to make sure you have all your belongings. I say that because it's regulations. But, of course, you won't have need for any luggage. Have a nice day. All passengers, watch your step, please. Getting off, this is the Good Times Express. What?
Adam!
Why, it's Polly.
What did you just call me?
Holy shit,
I called
Eve.
You by your name. Eve.
I must have been hearing things. Where have you been?
Oh, around.
Want to go for a swim?
We were swimming all morning.
Want to pick berries?
Well, don't you ever get sick of it?
Why don't we take a nap?
Well, if we do, we won't be able to sleep tonight.
Adam?
Yes, what is it?
Why don't you put your arms around me?
I'm tired.
Well, what do you want to do?
It's just there are so many things that I don't know.
Like what?
Like, why is the sky blue?
Does it matter?
Why does the sun rise and set?
Who cares?
What holds up the sky? Why does it rain? Why do the plants grow? The whole world is filled with whys. We're surrounded by whys.
Why should you care?
Because I'm a human being. And it's human nature to want to know.
Why don't you have some of that fruit?
What fruit?
You know, the apple, I think it's called.
Oh, no.
Why not?
Because we're not supposed to.
And why are we not supposed to?
Well,
you know what I think? I think the answers to all the whys are inside it.
That's ridiculous.
Why? Think about it. It must be the reason we're not supposed to eat it.
We were never told why we weren't supposed to eat it.
What other reason could there be?
I don't know.
Look, I don't care. You're the one that's being bothered by it.
It's just that I'd like to know.
Know what?
Everything. If you don't want to know things, you might as well be dead.
What's dead?
Dead is, I don't know. I don't even know why I said that.
Do you want to kiss me?
Listen, do you think...
Do I think what?
Nothing.
Why don't you just put your arms around me?
Do you think if we took just the smallest, tiniest little bite that...
All right. Reach up. Pick one. And let's get it over with.
So, here we go again. Another noble experiment that could never quite get off the drawing board. Proof, if ever proof were needed, that knowledge is like a bag of peanuts. You can't stop with just one. You have to keep eating and eating until it's all gone, or you are. Don't go too far, because I'll be back.
Hey there, mortgage holder. You say your house needs a new paint job, but you have to pull a bank job to pull it off? Well, save $3 a gallon right now on Olympic Overcoat, the house paint made to cover old paint. Or save $2.50 a gallon on Olympic Latex Stain. It lets you stain over paint. $3 off Olympic Overcoat, $2.50 off Olympic Latex Stain. But hurry, sale ends July 15th at your participating Olympic dealer.
He's in the Yellow Pages. We have knowledge, and we have wisdom. And as the poet says, knowledge comes, but wisdom lingers, which is why a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. But a little wisdom can save the world. Knowledge that can be heard here 7 times each week can be a source not only of wisdom, but of extreme pleasure. Our cast included Ralph Bell, Roberta Maxwell, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by ARM, Allergy Relief Medicine. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Honestly, that has the best creepy music.
thank you. I can't remember who did this one, that music for The Twilight Zone. But, yeah, it was for episode 2 with Charles Bronson and Elizabeth Montgomery.
Oh, yes, that one. That was great.
Yes, it was. Elizabeth Montgomery, remind me, CW, she did not say a single word in that, did she?
No.
She did not have a single line, not even a scream, which is very nice. She didn't scream. She didn't faint. At least, you know, if she was going to have the character of a soldier, they treated her like one.
Yes. Yes. She put a very strong opposite of Mr. Bronson.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
I did find the episode we were talking about. It goes way back to March 3rd of 2017, believe it or not. And it had The Mysterious Traveler, The Most Famous Man in the World, and The Strange Dr. Weird of 1 million B.C. The 1 million B.C. was the murder 1 million B.C. was the episode I was thinking of.
Ah.
Okay.
So there we go.
What date did we broadcast that one?
March 3rd of 2017.
Oh, my goodness. We were just starting out back then.
We were in our infancy. Yes, we were.
Yeah, well, I'm still in mine in certain ways, but. Yeah. Oh, that was a good night, too. I think that was the same night or the night preceding or the week preceding the thing on the Forble board.
That was pretty quick. The week before we had The Hands of Mr. Ottermole with Vincent Price and Claude Rains. And,
yes.
That was a great one. So, yeah, Thing on the Forble board was, you're right, on the 24th. So, about 3 weeks from that night there. So, yeah.
Somewhere around there.
That was, yep.
Pride of Carrots was back then, too. Good God, we've been doing this for over... Yikes.
Well, yeah, 2017. Yeah, wow. But before we move along to the party, we still might be able to learn one thing. This fast-paced story of ours, we still might be able to learn was one little other thing.
Erie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story.
It's apologies to Gar.
Yow.
Sometimes you don't really want to go where you really want to go. That was it.
Oh. In honor of Lupe Velez. There we go.
You wonder where he got that scream from. Now you know, huh?
Yeah. Probably... Well, who knows?
Yeah, you never know. Yeah.
You know, with all the problems people had with their different opinions about government, I thought I wouldn't go there, huh? Yeah. Here's how if I were in charge.
If it's not asking too much. For our information, just for illustration, tell us how you intend to run the nation.
These are the laws of my administration. No one's allowed to smoke or tell a dirty joke, and whistling is forbidden.
We're not allowed to tell a dirty joke.
If chewing gum is chewed, the chewer is pursued, and in the who's got hidden.
If we choose to chew, we'll be pursued.
If any form of pleasure is exhibited, report to me and it will be prohibited. I'll put my foot down, so shall it be. This is the land of the free. The last man nearly ruined this place, he didn't know what to do with it. If you think this country's bad off now, just wait till I get through with it. The country's taxes must be fixed, and I know what to do with it. If you think you're paying too much now, just wait till I get through with it. anything that's crooked or unfair. I'm strictly on the up and up, so everyone beware. If anyone's caught taking graft, and I don't get my share, we stand them up against the wall and pop goes the weasel.
So everyone beware.
If any man should come between a husband and his bride, we find out which one she prefers by letting her decide. If she prefers the other man, the husband steps outside. We stand them up against the wall and pop goes the weasel.
You have an appointment at the House of Representatives. Good heavens! You can't go with your trousers up.
I can, eh? Well, they'll never catch me any other way.
You know what? We were unfortunate to the point that when Groucho was around for us, Dale, he was really quite a bit older, and he would basically show up at talk shows and tell these wonderful stories. He had a quick wit up until the end, but it wasn't the same as seeing him in his prime. And thank goodness for all the great the movies that the Marx Brothers did, and his You Bet Your Life, and all the great radio that he did as well.
Sure, and you can catch some of those talk show interviews on YouTube. I know I've watched the Dick Cavett interview a number of times marvel at that incredible wit at his advanced age.
Yeah.
I think he also did one of those old Mike Douglas interviews as well.
Yes.
And Merv Griffin.
Yep.
Yep. I remember anything of Merv Griffin. I think of Rick Moranis saying, "Ooh, we'll be right back." You know, it's just. Oh, my.
Yes.
Great Second City TV group. Yep.
Yep.
I'm just wondering if there was a radio show where, I mean, in the original Marx Brothers, I mean, they went from vaudeville, then they went to movies and they did radio, but all the brothers. There was Groucho, Harpo, Chico, Zeppo, and Gummo. And I don't know if they were all siblings or not. I have to look that up.
Yeah, they were all siblings. They were all brothers. Yeah.
Yeah. You forgot Bilbo.
No, he wasn't one of the brothers. No. He was
short. He was short. He was very short.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Well, he went chasing dragons.
It was just absolutely amazing, and they all had their different talents, and the one talent that Groucho had that the others didn't is he had no musical ability.
But yet he could carry a tune enough to do some of those comical tunes that he did in his movies, such as the one I just
absolutely played. Absolutely. We have one coming up here in a little bit here, too. Actually, a couple. One is a number we'll be familiar with. Another one is a number that a duet he did with Bing. But you know, he was just okay enough to get away with some of those crazy songs that he did.
Yep.
But it's just what an amazing guy, and especially when it came, I think I said at the beginning of the program, I want to mention it one more time, is how in radio, I think the reason in general in radio he didn't work was because he didn't like the scripts. They weren't funny enough. Because you got to remember what the Marx Brothers did. They did vaudeville. They ended up on Broadway with these great big successful runs of different plays. And when they did the movies, they actually would go back on stage and do it like 3 or 4 times a day until they perfected that routine. And that's why when it came to filming in the movie, it worked out so quickly if they could get all three on the stage at the same time. That's one thing Buster Keaton, who was like a writer at the time for MGM when the Marx Brothers were there, said the biggest trick was getting all three of the major Marx Brothers on the stage at the same time. They had to keep chasing them around the studio to try and find them. But they did so many great things. This would be a great spot to throw in one of those radio clips, Dale.
Indeed, and so for tonight's celebration of Groucho Marx's 135th birthday, we've constructed the Wheel O' Groucho. So I'm going to go first.
Wheel O' Groucho.
Wheelo Groucho.
Groucho.
Yes, the Wheelo Groucho.
The one, the only Groucho. That's right.
Here we go. Here we go.
Around and around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Beautiful that the makers of Sludge, the breakfast food of the underdog, have awarded you a bonus prize, which is the city of Fresno, California. While we're on the subject, I got a couple of requests to sing myself. Oddly enough, the requests were sent in by a couple of strangers named Chico and Hoppo. Zeppo doesn't care what I do, which is all right with me, because I don't care what Zeppo does. And he's the guy that can do it. Sing, Groucho.
Lydia, the tattooed lady. She has eyes that men adore so, and a torso even more so. Lydia, oh Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh Lydia, the queen of tattoos. On her back is the Battle of Waterloo. Beside it, the wreck of the Hesperus too. And proudly above waves the red, white, and blue. You can learn a lot from Lydia. She will show you the world if you'll step up and tell her where. For a dive you can see Kankakee or Patty or Washington crossing the Delaware.
La la la, la la la, la la la, la la la.
Oh Lydia, oh Lydia, say have you met Lydia? Lydia the tattooed lady. When her muscles start relaxing, Andrew Jackson. Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh, Lydia, the queen of them all. For to bit she will do a mosaica in jazz with a view of Niagara that nobody has. And on a clear day you can see Alcatraz. You can line a lot of Lydia. Buffalo Bill with his lasso, just a little classic by Mendel Picasso. Here's Captain Spaulding exploring the Amazon. Here's Godiva, but with her pajamas on.
La la la, la la la, la la la, la la la.
Oh Lydia, oh Lydia, say have you met Lydia? Lydia the tattooed lady. When she the world grows littler. When she sits on Hitler. Lydia, oh Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh Lydia, the queen of them all. She once swept an admiral clear off his feet. The ships on her hips made his heart skip a beat. And now the old boy's in command of the fleet. For he went and married Lydia. I said Lydia.
Lydia, oh Lydia, she's got chlamydia. Oh, sorry.
Down.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're not muted right now, so be careful.
I'm sorry. Carried away. And lots of Groucho sticking around. We're going to run a little overtime for you tonight, folks, I think.
Yep, so if you run off to see Gar the Ghoul at Horrible Horror, be sure to come back for the archive because there's a lot left to go. Yeah, so it's
yeah,
not time for Gar yet, but it's heading there.
We got plenty of Groucho.
I think the lovely CW should be able to go up and spin that Groucho wheel, Dale.
I think that would be wonderful. This way, madame, if you would, to the wheel.
And here we go, a la Vanna White. Eat your heart out and spin.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Wheel of Groucho.
Thank you, thank you. I'm happy to be here again this week as your quizmaster. I say I'm happy to be here. I'd much rather be home in my backyard with a tall, cool beer and a short, warm housemaid. I wrote that myself. Now, let's get on with the show. Better yet, let's get on with the housemaid. And remember, this program... Boys, boys. And remember, this program is presented by the makers of Sludge, the breakfast food that makes you wish it was lunchtime. Unlike other breakfast foods, Sludge doesn't crackle, snap, crunch, or pop. It tinkles. No other cereal can make this statement. Personally, I'm just as happy. Who wants a cereal that makes statements? How'd you like to sit down for a quiet breakfast some morning and have a plate of oatmeal, say, "Hello, Harry. How'd you sleep last night? When are you going to pay the rent?" I like an oatmeal that keeps his lump shut. If it wants to talk, let it talk to other oatmeal. I like an oatmeal that's kind, not one that's gruel. For those of you who are lucky enough to tune in late, let me remind you that this program comes to you through the carelessness of Sludge, the breakfast food that tinkles. For 6 years now, Sludge has been put to every known scientific test. And the only good thing they found out about it is that it doesn't leak in a plane. There's nothing like it for a quick breakfast. You just got to know how to spread it around.
Oh, goodness. A breakfast treat that tinkles, did he say? Oh,
good. That tinkles. That tinkles, yes. Yep.
No, not in my milk, you don't. All right.
Tinkleberries.
Tinkleberries. Oh, good Lord.
Tinkleberries, yeah.
Yes, there's a tinkle beast. Tinkle, tinkle, tinkle. The waffle berry.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I tried. Dave, I think it's your turn to hit the Wheel of Groucho.
Oh, the Wheel of Groucho. Let me step right up there, and I'm going to reach up way to the top to give it a nice big spin.
Ugh. Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Right now, I was rolling in money, and after I was through rolling in, I'd pick it up and put it back in the safe. I was trying to think of a plan to get Cass and Dennis on the show when I heard a knock at the office door. Come in.
How do you do? Are you the lady of the house, or do I have smog on my glasses? After looking you over carefully, I hope it is smog.
Well, Groucho Marx! Yeah. Groucho, what are you doing out here in the desert?
Desert? I've been sitting in the dressing room for 40 minutes. Desert, all right. Sewing mink coats. Here's a beauty, only $40.
Mink coats for $40? How can you sell them so cheap?
Well, I have no overhead. I don't advertise. I don't pay rent, and I steal the coats.
Groucho, I know you don't steal those coats. Where do you get them?
Very simple. I trap them with my big musical trap. I walk out into the woods and play seductive music on my zither. The little animals hear the music, do a striptease, and take off their furs.
Did I tell you about the two vultures that were bucking each other?
Well, it's hard to do without two.
You can start working on the record now, fellas.
It's a good thing they got an extra supply of wax out there.
Would we be faded? Oh!
That'd be the biggest crap game in history.
Yeah? Look, Groucho.
I think it's your turn.
Yeah, I think so.
Sure. You want to quit right now?
I sure am never. I'm never going
to
give you another feed, you know.
I'm never
going to
give you another fish.
You know, we have a hookup with Lee Francis,
I know,
you know.
Look, Groucho, I don't need a mink coat. I'm an etching man myself.
Wait till I catch up on you. Oh, here. Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, you wear one of my mink coats, you'll be etching. Well, we can cut that, too, I guess. Well, I suppose the girls would find the coat too warm out here in the desert.
Well, I always find the girls are warmest when you promise them the coat. Once they get it on, they cool off.
Not these coats, Bob. These coats are all hot. Hope this is some radio. Okay, I'll do as much for you, Bob.
Thank you.
This is some radio station here. What? What? Now, look, you're not going to suck me into an Abbott and Costello routine. With me playing Abbott. You get your own, Chico. But why have you got this place hidden out in the desert? I started out last night and trying to find it. It was like looking for a needle in a haystack.
Well, where did you stay last night?
In a haystack.
Well, was it comfortable?
No, I kept sitting on the needle. But I found out one thing. A needle always points north.
Say, Groucho, excuse...
an astronomer in the orchestra, huh?
Groucho, excuse me.
I wish there was a musician in there.
We ought to work this way. They're much better here.
Well, don't forget, they're getting paid.
We're stealing.
And don't forget, I'm getting paid.
Groucho, excuse me a minute. I have to make an announcement on the air. Step into the studio with me, will you?
Yes. You notice everybody in radio wears wooden shoes?
Well, here we are. Just pull up a killer cycle and sit down, Groucho. I'll be right with you. At the next musical note, will someone please call and give us the correct time? Those Ingersoll people are really on their toes, aren't they? We interrupt today's musical program for a dispatch from Cairo, Egypt. But none of us understand Egyptian, so back to the program. Well, that takes care of that, Groucho.
Is that all you do?
Is that all I do?
That's a nice line, after standing at the same time.
Why make announcements, give the time, do the bookkeeping, and on top of that, I'm a disc jockey.
Disc jockey? My brother Chico used to be a disc jockey. He spun the records on his head. On his head as possible. You know, after every 1,000 records, he had to have his head sharpened.
Do you unwind, or is there some place I can pull the plug out on you?
Let's keep Crosby out of this, huh?
Groucho, I'm just trying to prove to you that I have too much to do around here. What I need is a business manager. I'm carrying too heavy a load.
You think you're carrying a load? You should have seen me last night. Okay, I'll take the job. Where's the safe, and who's got the combination?
Groucho, get away from that safe.
Don't tell me you're wearing it, huh?
Get away from that safe.
Oh, I just wanted to see when you open the door if a little light goes on.
You're thinking of an icebox.
No, I'm not. I'm thinking of Lana Turner. That's hardly an icebox.
Pardon me a moment, Groucho. I have to make an announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, Gillette Blue Blades bring you another important championship fight. Remember, look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. And there's the bell. Well? Well, Groucho, that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, Gillette Blue Blades bring you another important championship fight. Remember, look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. And there's the bell.
It's a nice pot I've got here, huh? When you get this line now, hey, Hope, what is this?
Return match.
My script was written by intermission. I hope if you ask me, that fight was framed. And listen, Bob, before I go into this, D, we'll have to have an understanding. You see, I'm in the habit of always picking up a little something on the side.
Fine, if you do, see if she's got a friend for me.
I'm talking about money.
Don't worry, you'll get paid.
I know, but name a figure.
Rita Hayworth.
I mean a round figure.
Crosby. Now, just step out in here, Groucho. This will be your office. Now, anything you want.
Yes, now, the first thing I want to do is put this station in better shape. This place looks terrible, Bob. You ought to get some real Venetian blinds.
Real Venetian blinds?
Yes, it doesn't look businesslike hanging up your long underwear and opening and closing the flap.
Well, maybe I could put in a zipper. Now, look, Groucho, I think...
Never mind what you think. Just keep your flap shut.
Yeah.
And furthermore, Hope, the next thing that...
Groucho, you don't let me get a word in edgewise.
I don't like a word that comes in edgewise. Either it comes in straight or not at all.
Well, Groucho, you've got to be sensible. I'm putting on a show for Walgreen tonight.
Is that so? Well, tell me, how much are they paying you?
Oh, well, they're not really going to pay me anything. I'm doing it just for the prestige. Otherwise, it would cost them a pretty penny.
I see. Well, never mind the pretty pennies. How many ugly dollars are you getting?
I'm not getting a cent, Groucho. If that's a lie, may the roof fall in. I guess he won. I forgot the answer.
How do you think I feel? I had the next line. Now, Bob, let's be honest. We're both crooks.
Now, Groucho, I'm not going to... I didn't look at that good. Groucho, I'm not going to get a cent. Now, if that's a lie, I'm a gopher.
Now, don't be silly and stop trying to gnaw a hole in the floor.
Oh, Bob, may I see you a second?
Oh, sure, Marv. Excuse me, Grouch. This is very important, a matter of life for Sinatra. Say, thanks for interrupting. You saved me some money.
I've been working on an idea for the Walgreens show. Do you want to hear it? Did you hear about the two vultures who were plucking each other?
That's my egg. Leave it alone.
Ah, happy birthday to great. Great one, Groucho Marx. Looks like people are heading off to Garland. Enjoy the show, folks. We're sticking around for a while as we celebrate Groucho Marx.
Oh, you know, there's always the great story that one broadcast that Groucho Marx and Bob Hope was on, and Bob dropped his script, and as he was reaching down to pick it up, Groucho stepped his foot on it. And the two of them ad-libbed for the next 10 minutes, I think, was the story. I'd love to find that recording and figure out which program it was and find that recording. So that would be...
That would be fun to share right here. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, that would be incredible.
You never know what Dave's going to find. You never know.
You know what we should also show air sometime is on the Martin and Lewis show. On their, it was an audition program, and it never got aired because it went long. It went way past the 30 minutes. Because it was an audition show. What happened is Jerry Lewis tried to ad lib against Bob Hope, and Bob Hope just buried them alive. And because on the next week when the actual first show came on, a lot of the stuff that they had written into the first the pilot ended up in the first show. But Bob Hope wasn't the guest on that. I think it was Lucille Ball. And I'm telling you what, Jerry Lewis could not ad lib against Bob Hope. It was hilarious.
Nicely done.
So
wow.
We'll share that one night. Well, maybe we'll get that, call the director and get that thrown up on the wheel some night. That would be fun.
That would be
a
good
time. But anyway,
we still have a
wheel of Groucho. I think it's back to you again, Dale.
Is it my turn again already? Let's see what we got with... let me get to the top of the wheel.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
All the people do here
is sort of sit around that pool in the sun, just dripping with suntan lotion. Everybody's so oily.
Looks like I'm a little oily myself. What time is the show supposed to start?
Groucho Marx.
Hello, darlings. This is Groucho Marx. And now I give you Cholula Bankhead and 10 points.
What do you mean, and 10 points?
I said 10 pints. That's 5 quarts, or would you like a case? I'll make you a price on a case.
Groucho, is that the way to talk to a lady?
Sir, you are suffering from delusions of grandeur.
Now, just a minute, Buster. Don't you start ad-libbing with me, because when it comes to ad-libbing, I'll ad-lib you for the whole hour and 30 minutes. So if you want to just stand here and talk, I'll talk longer, harder, faster, and lower than anybody who ever came up against. So watch it, brother. And right now, I wish you were one of the other three.
Right now, I wish you were Harpo.
Listen, Groucho, this is a big show, and I'd like a little respect.
I'd like some myself. Let's get one order for two.
Groucho Marx.
Okay, he could use a little, too. Let's all have some respect. Innkeeper, respect for everybody. Be my guest.
Have you quite finished?
Yes, and certainly hit the spot. That respect was a wonderful suggestion. Now, would you care to be a little more suggestive?
Gee. There's a radio program going on.
Okay, let's sit on the couch and listen to it.
I don't care to listen to it.
Okay, let's sit on the couch and neck. Let's lock glasses.
Right now, Groucho, all right, let's settle down.
I'll accept that. We'll buy a little house on the side of a hill, all painted white with green shutters.
I can see the petunias coming up the walk.
Are those petunias coming up the walk again? Let's turn out the lights and pretend we're not home.
The petunias are not coming up the walk to see us.
Well, as long as the lights are out, let's neck.
Can't you think of anything but necking?
Well, I'll try. No, I can't.
Groucho, let's get back to script, darling.
All right, if you want to live dangerously, I'm game. Well, darlings, the big show is in Hollywood. And what a thrill it was to return to the scene of my former triumphs.
Groucho, I've already read that part. Let's move on.
You just got the house, and now you want to move.
I don't want to move from the house.
That's the trouble. We never get out of the house. All day long, I cook and scrub, and staying up all night to trim the hedges.
You trim the hedges at night?
Every night the hedges come over to play poker, I trim them.
Groucho, I rue the day I ever asked you on this program.
Ah, Rudy La Day. Ah, Paris in the spring. Chocolate bar, mademoiselle?
Groucho, the script.
Well, darlings, the big show is in Hollywood, and what a thrill it is to return to the scene of my former triumph.
Groucho, you haven't changed a bit since you were on this program a few months ago.
And you haven't either. I see you still don't have a sponsor.
We can't all have sponsors.
My sponsor is the DeSoto Plymouth Car Dealers. If you like, I'll speak to them about sponsoring your program.
Well, I guess a little order suggestion wouldn't hurt.
No moaning, please. I'll tell you what, let's make up a sponsor, the Plebo Company.
The Plebo Company? How do you spell it?
C-O-M-P-A-N-Y. I waited, Goody. Let's give this program a little class. Let's give this program a little class. Before you introduce the next number, let's have a commercial.
All right, commercial.
This program is brought to you by the Plebo Company. For more than two generations, the public has been taking Plebo. And for more than two generations, the Plebo Company has been taking the public. Recently conducted laboratory tests prove that more doctors are conducting laboratory tests than treating patients. Exhausted scientists have proved that 4 out of 5 is 80%. How I toy with these yaks, huh? A small purchase from your Plebo dealer will save you money. A large purchase from your Plebo dealer will save your Plebo dealer.
There you go. With Groucho and Cholula Bankhead.
Yep.
I'd like to hear Cholula Bankhead and Chico, but I digress. I don't think I should discuss that topic much longer.
No, I don't think you should. No.
Indeed. As I'm channeling the spirit of dear Tallulah, watch it, mister. If I could take Groucho, I could take you.
I'm sure she did more than one, but the only film I can remember that Tallulah did, she was so much on the stage, she did Lifeboat for Hitchcock.
Yes.
That's the only Tallulah Bankhead movie I remember.
She was in a few, but that's the most notable, to be sure.
Don't you remember she was – well, she did that television episode of the original Batman, the Black Widow.
Oh, yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah,
yeah. Right, but I'm talking about as far as movies go, that's the only one that I remember her being in. I'm sure there had to be more, but
– yeah.
It was – gosh. She was supposed to do – she was – Miriam Hopkins got the role – the story of Temple Drake, which was before the code kicked in.
Okay.
And I believe she was supposed to get that, and she was also supposedly vying for Scarlett O'Hara. I mean, to Lula Bankhead was from the South, but that sort of just never coagulated.
Her first film, 1918, Who Loved Him Best, as the character Nell. Let's see what she was in of notes. Yep, her last thing was Batman, actually, her last credit, according to IMDb. She also appeared as Mademoiselle Fragrant on the Red Skelton Hour. She was in Die,
okay.
Die, My Darling. Oh.
Okay.
Let's see. Lucy Desi Comedy Hour, we know about that one. Schlitz Playhouse. A Royal Scandal. She was Catherine the Great. I could see that.
Yeah.
Oh, and
yeah.
Of course she had to be in, because everyone was in Stage Door Canteen.
Yeah. Yeah. And probably nobody got paid for being in that, but everybody was there.
Yes.
Oh, it was a movie for morale, a morale-boosting movie, if nothing
else. It was,
but it was jam-packed with stars and lots of great music.
And I think they used it for war drives as well, you know, for raise the money for the war bonds, that kind of a thing.
Oh, yes. Buy your bonds, war stamps. I didn't realize they
war
actually
stamps.
Had to be war stamps.
Yeah. Well, what it is, you bought stamps and they equaled a book. A book was the same as a bond.
Yep.
So.
And Tallulah Bankhead's father served as Speaker of the United States House of Representatives from June of 36 to September of 1940. Believe
yes,
it or not.
Yes, Daddy was a politician.
Yep.
And I have one little factoid that won't be anywhere on IMDb. A friend of mine, W.P. Dramick, who was an actor in New York and traveling and such, and on Broadway as well, Tallulah Bankhead was his godmother.
Wow.
And he had retired back to Ohio here. He's been in one of our Spaceship Ones. I'm going to try now figure out how to work him into the hosting segments so that he could present his Spaceship One episode. So.
Yep. Miss Tallulah, I can't picture her as a godmother. If so, she'd be kind of like Auntie Mame. A little bit so. There. But
definitely Auntie Mame and a combination of Auntie Mame, Bette Midler, and
just a little Eve Arden.
Eve Arden, definitely.
Yeah, mixed in there. Yeah, well, you know, Miss CW, it is your turn for the Wheel O' Groucho as we celebrate his 131st birthday.
I'd be delighted, sure delighted. Let's see now. I'm going to try for this one. Here we go.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Now, let me get this straight. You're Maxine, is that right?
No, I'm Patty.
Oh, of course, Patty. How stupid of me. Now, let me see. You're Maxine, is that right?
No, I'm Laverne.
Oh, I'm so sorry, darling. It's obvious that you must be Maxine.
No, I'm Groucho.
Will you please come out of this? You please come out. These are the Andrews
of Southern
Groucho.
Education. That's what they teach you in Alabama and Georgia.
Andrew, sisters, Groucho.
What's the matter with them, huh? Oh, then these three guys are sisters.
That's right.
No matter what you say, it's better than the script.
That's right. We're the Andrews Sisters, Groucho.
Well, how do you do? I just met your father, Gordon McRae. What's your racket, girls? What do you do?
We sing on the radio.
All three of you on one job?
That's right.
How do you like that? There's one guy with three jobs, and here are three girls with one job. I'll put you to work. How about doing some Plebo commercials? Maxine, how about you?
Oh, be glad to. When I do a lot of housework, I use Plebo to soften my hands. When I do a lot of walking, I use Plebo to soothe my feet. And Plebo is wonderful if you just sit around.
Yes, girl, watch yourself up from the bottom. How about you? How about you, Laverne? Would you read this testimonial from a Mrs. Brown in Topeka, Kansas?
Okay. I was unhappily married for years, until one day I served my husband a heaping bowl full of Plebo. I have never known an unhappy day since. Signed, Widow Brown.
And now you, Patty.
I have been brushing my tooth with Plebo.
Thank you, ladies. And just to show you I'm a good sport, I'll take you out after the show. Maxine, what are you doing after the show tonight?
I'm Patty.
Okay, Patty, same question.
Oh, I have a date.
Line up, girls. Maxine, same question.
Same answer.
Levine, Levine. That shows you shouldn't eat salami for lunch. Levine?
Just for that ditto.
Well, that leaves only...
Hello, darling.
Gordon, what are you doing after the show?
I'm having dinner with my wife, Groucho.
Oh.
Well, what now, brother?
That's an idea. I'll call up one of my brothers.
Oh, my. He definitely was the one, the only, I'm telling you.
What is your favorite film with Groucho, would you say?
Jeez. Maybe the one that they're in the ship. I think that's a fun one.
That's a good one. I like Duck Soup. I'm a Duck Soup guy. Anytime you mock Hitler, that's good stuff.
Yeah, that's true. How about you, CW?
Are you with us, CW? You
still here?
Oh, she's not.
There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, she's
Wash
not with
hands.
Us. She must be against
oh.
us.
Sorry.
Hello. Just bouncing a signal off of a restaurant right now.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
but,
that it's harder to track you that way. Good job.
That's it.
I think so. Yes, CIA, NSA, MI5, give it a try. Good luck with that. Anyway, let's see. I think, wasn't it Night at the Opera that they did?
Yes.
Yes.
Another fun one. Yep.
I enjoyed that one.
Night of the Opera.
You know, funny when you come think about that, the night movies, they did the Night in Casablanca, and Warner Brothers tried to sue them because Casablanca was a place they made up. And
I think Groucho,
and Groucho replied, well, you can't sue me for something that's made up or something like that. And they went on with it, and it became a night in Casablanca. So, you know, just.
That sounds as bad. You know, the wonderful play, the CBS mystery, that reminded me so much of Stephen King movies, The Langoliers and The Dead Zone.
Yes.
It had flavor of that. And
yeah,
I don't know when Stephen King wrote those novels. I don't think he wrote them. He may have written them in the 70s. I don't know. But for that studio to try and sue the Marx Brothers for A Night in Casablanca makes about as much sense as when Harlan Ellison sued James Cameron for Terminator, saying that's too much like one of my ideas. And I think you gave me the link, Dave, to that Harlan Ellison story. Was on a, I think, an Outer Limit.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And
with the exception of a time travel and fighting, I'm sorry, there is nothing like that. And Harlan Ellison did not invent time travel or fighting.
Yeah.
Right, right. Or soldiers,
somebody was,
right. I guess,
somebody was hard up for bucks. I think I'll sue.
Yeah, I think it was Harlan Ellison thought a lot of himself. I actually got to hear him speak. And he came to Akron. He was invited by the Friends of the Library. And I actually got to go hear him speak. And he one thing he didn't want to talk about was the new Twilight Zone, because he originally was brought on as a creative consultant, and some of his episodes, some of his stories were written into the series. But by the second season, he was eliminated because he was too much of a pain in the butt. But one of my favorite episodes was one that he wrote, Paladin of the Hour, and it starred Danny Kaye in one of his finest dramatic appearances, maybe his last, one of his last TV, actually acting roles as well. He was absolutely fabulous in that, and I bought the book that had that story in, and I had him sign that story for me. So,
nice.
And I did mention it was my favorite story in Twilight Zone, and he kind of hoofed, signed it, and I moved along. You know, but
oh my gosh, very talented guy, but you had to take him in small doses from everything heard about him. I mean,
very
I'm surprised.
Talented.
Yeah, very talented. I'm surprised Gene Roddenberry put up with him when he wrote that Star Trek episode.
Yeah. Well, but Gene Roddenberry had some people between him and some other writers, too, I think, sometimes. So, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah. That's called people management. Yep.
Definitely. He had a firewall, perhaps. I don't know.
People management skills.
Yep.
Separate the
yep.
fighters.
Well, I think we got time for at least one more wheel here.
I think so.
I guess my turn to step up and grab the top of the wheel and give it a good, hard spin.
Around and around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Why don't we hit the song, Groucho? Who's going to take the lead on this thing?
Well, it just happens that I'm a leader, too,
well,
Bing.
Well, go on. Itty bitty bee, this is what you see. It's a singer sings a song so sweet. Could make a pack of prima donnas. She can sing, but she don't wanna.
There's music in the soup you eat.
The soup you eat.
The nice Italian girl brings wine. You drink ready. You think that your life's complete. The bass so deep sings you to sleep, and the tenor tries to reach the stars.
He nearly dies.
And when they bring the cheese,
it moves
pretty.
It's an imported cheese. To get around cheese, I'm home. Huh?
Remove it, please. Remove it, please.
It's so nice and sweet, the macaroni, he's a-growing on the vine. You eat a lot of spaghetti and you drink Italian wine. The dinner costs you 60 and you slip the weight of 10. And you say goodbye, if Mr. Please call again. When they sing, chitty bitty bee, you leave your home and mother. Everybody drink and love each other. When it's nighttime down, it's Little Italy.
Ah, those crazy, crazy boys.
Yep, Bing Crosby and the one and only Groucho.
A mere 131 years old.
Wow.
We'll be back next week, won't we?
We will be, won't we?
Yeah, comic books, man. Comics. Or comic strips, maybe more. Maybe comic strips more. But, first of all, it's Dick Tracy's birthday, so let's hear it for Dick. That's Friday night.
Now, that's an operetta. That's done almost completely in song.
Okay. We'll be checking that out Friday.
One of the few very original, command performances. A lot of them were stolen. A lot of the scripts and stuff were previously used in other radio shows. A lot of crap music hall stuff was used on command performance.
Yep.
And
Dick
that's
Tracy
why you have Bing. Yep, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, it's Dick Tracy and B-flat with a ton of stars. Bing Crosby,
oh, yeah.
Dinah Shore, Bob Hope, Judy Garland, Jerry Colonna, Jimmy Durante, we'll be hearing from him shortly, Frank Sinatra, Andrew Sisters, Frank Morgan, and Harry Von Zell. Cast of thousands,
yes. And Bob Hope was busy breaking up. Bob Hope was flat top, and he's busy breaking up Judy Garland at the very least. She was Snowflake. So,
yep. That's Friday at 8:30, the Dick Tracy night, and then continuing, we're gonna flip the comic book pages over to Blondie and Sugar Sugar Honey Honey. It's the Archie Andrews show as well. So that'll be Saturday.
Yep.
Blondie and Archie.
Everyone, make sure to bring your favorite Dagwood sandwich and your favorite milk chocolate shake.
There you go.
That's right. Just don't let Mr. Weatherby know where we're going.
Yes. Or Mr. Dithers. That's right.
Or Mr. Dithers. I didn't like Mr. Radcliffe. I like Mr. Dithers.
Ah.
I didn't dislike Mr. Radcliffe. I just like Mr. Dithers better.
Oh, and everyone, watch out for your letter carrier. You don't want to knock them down and see the letters go flying all the way when Dagwood comes running out of the house.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
I do. I'm a mean bastard like that. But anyway, join us Friday at 8:30 p.m. Saturday, it'll be 6:30 p.m. You still got time to get on over to the Twitches there and catch out Horrible Horror starting. Blah, blah, Gar the Ghoul. But we got a whole lot of few seconds to kill here, so thanks for joining us for a full two-hour show on a Saturday. Pretty nice. CW, thanks as always for joining the Erie House family, which you are now part of.
And tip your hat, everyone, to the traffic jam that made me pull over, turn off the engine, and just steal the Wi-Fi from whatever this restaurant is next door to me. I have no idea.
Yes. From wherever CW is, you can hear the scream in the night. To hell with this. I'm doing radio. Wait a second, real quick. Somebody's here at the last second.
That's just me. I got cut off this thing.
Oh, yeah. It looks familiar. All right. Wait. Well, here, let me activate it. Good night, folks. The castle is going down. Blah, 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 blah. I missed it. Oh, well. What are you going to do? Sorry, Vince.
That's what you get for answering my phone call.
Yeah. Sorry, Vince.
I just did that in case. I always seem to get knocked off here lately. So
he has been in the after party.
Plan B. We'll do this.
And I'm glad, because you know how scary it is to be stuck in a room alone with Gar? Ooh. Good heavens.
And that's even without his makeup.
Yeah, which we've seen lately. I asked him.
We did.
I asked him how much the blackmail is worth.
What's funny, the story behind that, CW, is that he was trying to film this thing, opening up a package from his friend. And so he was filming it on the thing, and it didn't work right, so he was kind of redoing it. And then when he recorded at the time, it actually went out over Twitch. And he and Tom are all against him being seen, not in the Gar garb. And
like being naked.
So he had to go through it. Yes, and so he was busy trying to figure out how to delete this daggone thing because he was going out live over Twitch. So,
it's like being naked and not even getting paid for it. Oh, sucky.
Well,
I'm bad
afraid.
Today.
In my case, I've had to pay for it, but that's okay.
Yes.
You know.
I'm being bad today. I'm being so bad. It's Tallulah Bankhead. She brought the worst out in me. I blame Tallulah.
You blame Tallulah.
Quite the wild woman.
Tallulah darling.
Tallulah darling.
Darling, yes.
Quite the wild one she was.
That was... Yes, Tallulah always there. Always taking something or other.
She had some great saying about her penchant for taking particular drugs or something, and I wish I could remember it. I can't remember it offhand. It's kind of sad, but it's also hilarious.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find it, because I think I know what you're talking about. Tallulah Bankhead quotes. Let's see. Top 25 quotes. It's got to be in there.
Got to be.
Has to be.
Let's see. She said, once, I think the Republican Party should be placed in dry dock and have the barnacles scraped off its bottom. Okay? She once said, too many of our countrymen rejoice in stupidity, look upon ignorance as a badge of honor. They condemn everything they don't understand. Okay? All my life I've been terrible at remembering people's names. I once introduced a friend of mine as Martini. Her name was Olive. Oh, this might be it, CW. My father warned me about men and booze, but he never said anything about women and cocaine.
That's it. Yes,
another one of hers, if I only had to live my life again, I'd make the same mistakes only sooner.
Yep. Fill what is empty, empty what is full, and scratch where it itches. Ew.
Okay.
Oh, this is a good one. Anybody could say this, especially me right now. They aren't making mirrors like they used to.
That's true, yes. So true.
Pearls of wisdom from one and only Tallulah.
Only good girls keep diaries. Bad girls don't have time. I am not childless, darling. I am child-free.
That's a good one.
Nobody can be exactly like me. Sometimes I have trouble doing it.
I bet.
Betty Davis and I are good friends. There's nothing I wouldn't say to her face. Both of them. Wow. I've had a man and I've had a woman, and there's got to be something better.
Yep.
Oh, there's one I can't repeat. Okay.
No, you can't repeat that one.
There's two of them. Scroll down. Cocaine is a habit forming. I should know. I've been using it for years. Let's see. There's another one I can't read. I read Shakespeare in the Bible, and I can shoot dice. That's what I call a liberal education. All right, the less I the less I behave like Whistler's mother the night before, the more I look like her the morning after.
Yep. They used to photograph Shirley Temple through gauze. They should photograph me through linoleum.
Some guy runs up to her at a party and goes, Tallulah, I haven't seen you for 41 years. I thought I told you to wait in the car. they used to photograph Shirley Temple through gauze. They should photograph me through linoleum.
Yep.
The philosophy of Tallulah. That should be there should be a master's degree in this.
Yes.
There should be.
Quite the young lady.
Most assuredly. And with that said, I must be away myself.
Hey, we thank you for joining us on this special extra long edition of a Saturday night. A lot of fun.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And
happy you
birthday
made it
to
that
Carson.
Way. You made it that way.
And happy birthday, Groucho.
Yep. So with no further ado, you know what goes next, CW.
Ah, Groucho, could you ask Mr. Durante to come this way, please?
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night. What more is this say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the same, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.